Tyson. Once again, so very good to see you in the house of the Lord, and a very, very warm welcome to all those who are worshiping from home. We pray that the fellowship this morning may be good, and the study of God's Word may indeed be a great blessing to every one of us. My subject this morning is aliens or citizens. Aliens to the kingdom of God or citizens of the kingdom of God. And I speak from the passage that we read earlier on, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 13. But for the start, I'd like to focus on two verses, namely Ephesians chapter 11 and 12. Chapter 2, 11 and 12. Let me read these two verses for you. Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision. The circumcision refers, of course, to the Jews in the flesh made by hands. Verse 12, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Gentiles are referred to as the uncircumcision, and the Jews were referred to themselves as the circumcision. Now, the word that I like us to look at is the word aliens. Now, when we think of aliens, straight away our minds think of extraterrestrial beings or some outer space monsters. Right away we'll think of them. These are creatures invented or created in science fiction. So me and my wife were really very surprised one time many years ago when we visited Malaysia. When we entered Malaysia through its international airport, we were directed to queue up in a queue that was designated for aliens, because the word was very clearly shown, aliens, queue up along this line. So I thought to myself and told my wife that I think there's a wrong usage of words. We are human beings, not aliens, as much being human as the Malaysians were. And subsequently, I referred to the dictionary and found that the Malaysians were actually correct in making use of the word aliens, because alien simply means foreigners, non-citizens, non-residents. So they were correct in using that word. And the word aliens is used here, as you can see in verse 12, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Yes. Now, we are referred to as aliens. Gentiles are referred to as aliens. You know why? Because before we were converted, we were not part of the commonwealth of Israel. So the word of God says here, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. We were not part of the commonwealth of Israel. Now, to put it simply, what it means is we are not part of God's kingdom. That's why we are referred to as aliens. Now, before I talk more about the aliens this morning, I'd like us to focus on another word, a word that our preacher Cole actually talked about last Friday at our prayer meeting. And it is the word mystery when he was talking about parables, the parables of the sower and the seed, or the sower and the various kinds of grounds. He explained this word, mystery. Now, it is used also in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. Let us look at these two verses. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. Verse 9, having made known unto us the mystery, you see the word is used here, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Now, so what is a mystery? Now, a mystery is actually a truth of God. It is not like a mystery that we read of in a detective novel, but rather it is a truth of God not revealed in time past. But then God chose to reveal this truth at a time appointed by him. Now, that is what is meant by a mystery. Now, in regard to the word mystery here, it was a mystery. It was a mystery that the one true living God had actually revealed to the Apostle Paul and other apostles. And what is this mystery, or what is the content of this mystery? Now, the content of this mystery that is spoken about here is that one day God is going to bring about a big gathering of saints in heaven and saints on earth together in heaven. And so we read here that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. One day there will be this big gathering made by the one true living God. A gathering consisting of saints in heaven, perhaps angels also, consisting also of saints from the earth. There will be this big gathering. The saints will be made up of all believers of all races, whether they be Jews or whether they be Gentiles, all will be gathered as one. And it will be a very, very magnificent, great, grand, beautiful gathering. Yes, and this gathering is not just for one day, but this gathering is going to go on and on and on forever and ever. Now, that is the gathering that the one true living God is talking about, which forms the content of this mystery. Now, let me give you an illustration to give you a little appreciation of what, how beautiful a gathering can be, how magnificent a gathering and beauty, how beautiful and how magnificent a gathering can be, right? Now, this is only a very simple illustration of the beauty, the grandness, and the magnificence of that great and grand gathering that is going to take place one day. Now, there is in Singapore this very beautiful building designed by a famous Jewish architect, right? Esther might know, yes. Which required very high power engineering skills and knowledge to build. Now, while this building was in progress, or the construction of it was in progress, I remember in those days when my wife and I were driving from the East Coast to the West, and when we were driving along the Benjamin Sheares Bridge, we would look onto the right side of the bridge, and there was that very ugly-looking structure that was under construction. Very ugly, and I always told my wife, I said, why did the government allow such an ugly structure to be built here? It is such a prominent place, and here we see a very ugly structure. And it was made even uglier because there was this covering that was covering the building that was, of course, a means of protection, for people walking at the foot of the building. Yes, the covering was to prevent debris from falling on people. Then, lo and behold, so some years later, when my wife and I went back on one of our trips, the building was completed. And what a great and grand and magnificent this building became, or was, and is today. And it has become an icon of Singapore. It is none other than the Marina Bay Sands Hotel. It is actually a very, very beautiful building, especially if you were coming from the sea. You see the three towers. On the top of the three towers sits this boat-shaped swimming pool. Very, very beautiful, yes. But when it was in progress, when the construction was in progress, the structure was very ugly. Now, a documentary actually has been produced to show the engineering, to demonstrate the engineering knowledge and skills that went into the building of this structure. And I actually saw this documentary here in Sydney on TV. And when I saw this documentary, of course, I thought of the structures that came together to form this building. And when I thought of the structures, I also, of course, thought of the various small parts that form the structure. There will be the marble tiles, there will be the steel rods, there will be the metal frames, and there will be the cement, and there will perhaps also the ornamental pieces and all various other things that came together to form the structures. And these various pieces could have come from all over the world, from the most sophisticated factory, depending on the kind of thing that is needed, and or they could come from some remote villages or even from the sea, from somewhere. They most of them, I would say, look rather ordinary or sometimes could even be ugly by themselves. But when they came together and became part of the structure and the structures becoming, forming the building, I say, the building came out to be so beautiful and so magnificent, so great, so grand. Now what I'm saying is, even a man-made structure can be so beautiful when all the pieces are gathered together and formed correctly, designed by a famous architect. Now, what about this great and grand, magnificent gathering that God is going to make to come into existence someday in heaven? This great and grand heavenly gathering that God is going to make in heaven. The beauty of it will be unmatchable. The magnificence of it will be unmatchable. The joy of the big gathering will also be unmatchable. Nothing on this earth can match the magnificence, the joy, the grandness, and the beauty of this gathering. But friends, you might not be there. Now, you might not be a part of that great gathering because you are an alien to that gathering, because you are not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Except that you are a believer, except that you are a citizen of the kingdom of God today, you will not be a part of that great gathering. You will be an alien to that great gathering. But friends, you don't have to remain as an alien to the kingdom of God. You can be a part of this great and wonderful, magnificent gathering someday. Today, by coming to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and God actually has made it possible for us to become citizens of the kingdom of God and to become part of this great gathering someday. He gives us this answer in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. You were distant, you were aliens, but now you are brought nigh, brought near. By what? By the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now the price for changing us from aliens to citizens is very, very costly, infinitely costly. We are not able to pay this price, but the Lord Jesus Christ could, and he paid. And then let us understand another thing. Infinitely great power is required to change us from aliens to citizens. Not just any ordinary power, but great, infinitely great power. The power of God is needed to change us from aliens to citizens. And what is this power? Now, we talked about it a few messages ago in Ephesians chapter 1. It is the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like to read that passage again for all of us. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. Paul was addressing this letter to the Christians in Ephesus, and he says this: I pray for you that you may know this power that is residing in you. The people there were already believers. They had this power in them, but they just didn't know that they had this power. So Paul wrote to them and said to them, I pray that you may know what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, which he operated in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. My dear friends, this power that changes us from aliens to citizens of the kingdom of God is none other than the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ. The same power that raised the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. Friends, I'd like to ask you again, and I'm going to ask you this question a few more times this morning. Are you a citizen or are you a kingdom of are you a citizen of the kingdom of God or are you an alien? My dear friends, if you are an alien, yes, and if you want to become a citizen, it is possible for you to become one. What you need to do is to be purged by the precious blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ shed on the cross of Calvary. It is by this blood that we are drawn near to the one true living God. Now, our salvation, let us understand, involves our, as we said, being changed from aliens to citizens of the kingdom of God actually has reference both to death as well as to distance, right? Reference to death as well as to distance. It has reference to death in that as aliens, think of it as aliens, we were dwelling in the deep and horrible pit of sin and of trespasses. That's what we were. That's where we were in. Actually, we don't think of our dwelling in a horrible pit, but actually we were. We were dead in trespasses and sin. We were living a living death. We might think that we are alive. Of course, physically, we were alive. But friends, we were dead. Spiritually dead. We are living a living death. And we were actually guided by the cause of this world before we became believers. We were guided by the cause of this world, by the thinking of this world, by the mentality of this world, by the opinion of this world, by the drift of this world. And we were also guided by Satan, the prince of the power of the air. And then we were also guided by the lust of our flesh. That's why, my dear friends, we were indeed living a living death. Yes, we were deep in sin, deep in the horrible pit of sin. And friends, if we pass away at that time, yes, we will be going deep into the eternal hell and damnation. Yes. Now, but God was very, very kind. He sent his only begotten Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to rescue us out of this horrible pit. Now, my focus, and also rescue us by his resurrection power, even the power of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. By this power, he has pulled us out of this pit. But today, my main focus is not so much on the depth of our sins, but I want to talk about the distance, how far we are, how far we have been from the one true living God, or how far we were from the one true living God when we were unbelievers. My dear friends, an understanding of what kind of aliens we are will give us an idea of, some idea at least, of the great distance we were living from the one true living God, if we understand the kind of aliens that we are. And our understanding of the kind of aliens we are will also give us a little appreciation of the greatness of this power of resurrection in drawing us to our Lord and to the one true living God. Now let us see what kind of aliens we are so that we can have some appreciation of the distance from which we have been alienated from the one true living God. Now look at verse 11. Wherefore, remember ye being in time past in the flesh, who are called circumcision, meaning Gentiles, by that which is called the circumcision, meaning the Jews, the flesh, circumcision in the flesh made by hands. We were called the uncircumcision by the circumcision. We were aliens in that we were Gentiles and not Jews. And because we were not Jews, we were really not God's chosen people. And you might also say that we were aliens to the Jews, right? The Jews were God's people, and then we were aliens to the Jews also. We were aliens to the Jews. We are not God's people. Now, and that's what the Apostle Paul told the Christians in the city of Ephesus. He told them that you were the uncircumcision. Yes, you were actually aliens. Yes, look at Ephesians chapter 2, the verse that we read earlier on. You are Gentiles, non-Jews. You are called the uncircumcision by the Jews, who, of course, as we said, refer to themselves as the circumcision. Now, to understand the importance of circumcision to the Jews, we need to go back to the time of Abraham, the ancestor of the Jews. There was a time when God called Abraham and made this covenant with Abraham. Now, let us understand that the word covenant is not what we understand it to mean today. Now, today, when we talk about, when we use the word covenant, generally, we are talking about an agreement. But a covenant that God made with the covenant that God made with Abraham, or the covenants that he made with Abraham, essentially were promises that God made to him. And so we read in Genesis chapter 17, verse 7. This was the covenant, or the promise that God made to Abraham. Look at chapter 17, verse 7. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, in their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. Oh, what kind of agreement is this? Surely this was not so much an agreement, but it was really a promise that God made to Abraham. God said to Abraham, he said, you, that I will be your God and the God of your descendants, which of course means that Abraham and his descendants will be God's people. That was the promise that God made to Abraham. And then you look at verse 17 and look at verse 11. Now I'm saying all this so that we can understand why circumcision is so important to the Jews. And then if we are not circumcised, we are not regarded as God's people. Yes, we are aliens. All right. Now look at verse 11. And ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant between me and you. Yes, God says, you circumcise your flesh and your descendants. Yes, all your people must be circumcised. Yes, and this will be used as a token, as a sign of the covenant, that you and your descendants are my people, and I am your God and the God of your descendants. Verse 12. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man child in your generations. He that is born in the house or bought with money of any stranger which is not of thy seed. God chose this sign, even the sign of circumcision, to seal the covenant, as it were. Now today, if you want to adopt a child, of course you have to get all the legal papers properly done. Yes, you have to put your signature on the documents, and then the documents will have to be properly sealed or stamped by the appropriate authority. But when God made this covenant with Abraham, there was no handwritten signature. It was not stamped by any particular authority, but God made use of the sign of the covenant to seal this covenant, the sign of circumcision, to seal this covenant. Yes. Now, so circumcision was a sign to show to the Jews that they were indeed God's people. How Gentiles were not circumcised, right? So they were not circumcised. Why? Because they were aliens to the kingdom of God. Yes. That is how distant we Gentiles were from the one true living God. We were not God's people. Yes, and we were not circumcised. We were not God's people. So that was how distant we were from the one true living God. That's the kind of aliens we were from the one, in the sight of the one true living God. But the problem with the Jews is that besides the importance of physical circumcision, they thought that they were true blue Jews by this sign. They thought that the circumcision will contribute to their salvation. Yes, they will look at the circumcision and say that we are true blue Jews. We are sons of Abraham. Yes, God is our God. Only we have salvation. And they were counting very much on the circumcision as part of their merits for salvation. And what were Gentiles to Jews? What were they? They were not even people to some Jews. They were regarded as uncircumcised gentle dogs to some Jews. So can you see how much the Jews had alienated the Gentiles? So what chance would the Gentiles have to become citizens of the kingdom of God? In the first instance, the Jews were supposed to be God's people. They were supposed to be a blessing to the Gentiles. They were supposed to introduce the one true living God to the Gentiles, and to introduce the Gentiles to the one true living God. but they were alienating them. So what chance do the Gentiles have? They were so alienated, as it were, from the kingdom of God. Now, what is the basic reason for Jews alienating Gentiles? What's the real reason? Yes? Why did they exaggerate the importance of circumcision so much and were so prejudiced against the Gentiles? Essentially, it was pride. They were proud of their religious privileges, as we said. They said, we are descendants of Abraham, we have the sign of the circumcision, and they were very, very proud of the observing of the laws of God, primarily the ceremonial laws which God gave to them, which they thought that they were observing correctly. The ceremonial laws were actually laws given to the Jews to show them how to worship the one true living God, what kind of offerings to bring into the temple of Jerusalem to offer to the one true living God, what feast days to observe, the kind of cleansing ceremonies they ought to be observing, and so on and so forth. Now, the Jews thought that they were observing all these ceremonial laws well, and therefore they were entitled, as it were, a place in heaven, and therefore they were God's people, and therefore were very, very prejudiced against the non-Jews. They were very, very much lifted up with pride, and they were filled with self-righteousness. Now, friends, let me digress a little here when I talk about this prejudice and alienation. Just look at ourselves. Are we alienating people? The Jews alienated the Gentiles by overemphasizing circumcision. Now, do we alienate others because we think that we are holier than they? They are not spiritual enough for us to relate with or to fellowship with. Or do we alienate people because they are not of the same social status as we are? They are much lower than we are, and so we do not want to associate with them, we do not want to relate with them. Or do we think that they are not as smart as we are? Or do we think that they come from a different country that we came from, and therefore we are not wanting to relate with them? Or because maybe we are just simply prejudiced against them because of their looks. My dear friends, when we Gentiles are critical of the Jews for their being prejudicial against the Gentiles, let us look at ourselves and make sure that we do not alienate people for whatever reasons. Let us be very, very sure of that. Now, as I said, there was a bit of digression. But let's come back to our subject of aliens and citizens. So, what is a true Jew? What is a true Jew? One who is a citizen of God's kingdom. Is he one who has been physically circumcised? If he is physically circumcised, does it make him a real Jew, a true Jew? The answer is no. The Apostle Paul makes it very, very clear in Romans chapter 2, verses 28 and 29. Paul says this, "For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward, and neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of man but of God." In other words, physical circumcision that a Jew undergoes does not make a Jew a Jew, but it is spiritual circumcision, the circumcision of the heart. It is the putting away of the sinful flesh, the putting away of the sinful nature that is true circumcision. So a Jew does not belong to God. He thinks that he belongs to God, when in actual fact, he does not belong to God if he is not spiritually circumcised. Yes. He is as much an alien as we are, who are Gentiles, if he is not spiritually circumcised. Now, as for us, my dear friends, if we want to be true spiritual Jews, if we want to be truly God's people, we must be spiritually circumcised. Not physically, but spiritually circumcised. We have to put off the sinful flesh, put off the sinful nature, or cut off the sinful flesh, or cut off the sinful nature to be truly converted. Only then would we not be aliens to God's kingdom, but only then would we become citizens of the kingdom of God. Now we see this alienation between Jews and Gentiles. The divide between the Jews and Gentiles is very great. But let us understand this truth. It is not God's will. It is not his will that Jews and Gentiles continue to be divided. As we said, it is God's purpose that one day he will gather into one all things in heaven and all things in earth, all the saints in heaven and all the saints on earth together as one. Yes, and the saints will be made up of all people of all races, Jews, Gentiles, yes, all races who are true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. So it is his plan not to have this divide continue to exist. God wants to break down this divide, or to bring the Jews and Gentiles together to bow down their knees to worship the one true living God. But before that great day happens, yes, God had already taken the step to remove this alienation between Jews and Gentiles. Before the great day happens, he has already taken the step to remove this alienation. We have read this in verse 13. But God in Christ Jesus, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. And verse 14. For he is our peace, who hath made one, and broken down the middle wall of partition between us. God sent his only begotten Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to break down this partition between Jews and Gentiles, to remove this divide between Jews and Gentiles. You see, there is basically this most serious alienation. Yes, that is the cause of this alienation between Jews and Gentiles. This alienation is basic. Now, this alienation is the alienation of the human race from the one true living God. Yes, we are aliens to the fellowship of the one true living God, all the entire human race. Now, this is the basic alienation that caused the alienation between Jews and Gentiles. You see, originally, the human race was never meant to be alienated from the one true living God. When God created our first parents, Adam and Eve, they were created perfect. And they had perfect fellowship with the one true living God. But then they sinned against him. They rebelled against him. They disobeyed him, rebelled against him. The result of it was that they were alienated from the one true living God. And not only that, their descendants were also alienated from him. Yes, both Jews and Gentiles, all were alienated from him. So long as we belong to the human race, we were alienated to him, from him. And then you see, we have all inherited this sinful nature of Adam. And our natural inclination is to do the works of evil. That's our natural inclination. And so we have broken every law of God. We have cheated, we have lied, we have murdered with our tongue, not with our guns, not with guns or knives, but with our tongues. We murder the character of people. We don't honor our parents. And most of all, we do not love the one true living God with all our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. In other words, my dear friends, we have sinned against the one true living God. And by our wicked works, the Word of God tells us, by our wicked works, we have been alienated from the one true living God. Every person in the human race, my dear friends, has been alienated from the one true living God. And so we read this in Colossians chapter 1, verse 21. The Word of God says, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by your wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. Now, if this alienation is not removed, with regards to any one of us, if this alienation between you and the one true living God is not removed, my dear friends, you will end up in eternal hell, damnation. That's where you will go. But it is not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so from eternity past, God had already put in place his plan of salvation, because he knew that man would fall. So he put in place his plan of salvation. So there was a time in human history when God called his man Abraham and made this covenant with him, made this promise to him. In Genesis chapter 12, verses 2 and 3, something which the SBS will be dealing with perhaps today. Genesis chapter 12, verses 2 and 3. God made this covenant with Abraham. God said to him, I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curses thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Out of Abraham, God promised Abraham that he will raise a people. Yes, raise a people. The nation of Israel. The commonwealth of Israel, if you like. Yes, and they were referred to as God's people. Yes, the nation of Israel, they will be referred to as God's people. And these people, as we said already, are referred to as the commonwealth of Israel in verse 12 of Ephesians chapter 2. Now, the Jews, as I said, were supposed to be witnesses for God. And they were supposed to be blessings to others, so that through them, other nations would be able to come to know God and to believe God as their God and to receive him as their Savior. God gave them his covenants of promises. And basically all these covenants of promises that God made with the Jewish people are based on this very single important covenant. And that is this. God said, I will raise of you a great nation, a great people, a great nation. Yes. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. This was the nation through which God's promised Messiah, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, would come. The Savior of the world. He would indeed be the blessing of all the nations on the earth. Now then, what about we Gentiles, my dear friends? As we said, we were not God's people. Before we were believers, we were truly aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Outsiders, if you like. Now, in regards to the covenants of the promise of God, did we know anything about the covenants of the promise of God? We didn't know anything. Did you ever hear of the term covenant? Maybe you have never even heard of the term covenant until you read the Word of God, until we were exposed to the Word of God. Now, do the Jews know God, or did the Jews know God? Of course they did. Did we Gentiles know God? No, we did not know God. We were without God. We were not his people. And before we came to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we were outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. We did not have spiritual life. We were spiritually dead. And as we said, if we died at that time, we would have headed straight for hell. Yes. So you see how distant we were really as Gentiles. Aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, aliens from the fellowship of God, aliens from the one true living God. Today, the truth of the matter is that if you are an unbeliever, you are such an alien. This is exactly your position, separated from the one true living God, aliens to the kingdom of God. Now, as we said, the Jews were supposed to be a blessing to other people. Through them, other nations might be able to come to know the one true living God as their God. But instead of doing that, what they did was they put a barrier between themselves and other nations. So the question needs to be asked, were they truly God's people? Were they? No, if they were unbelieving Jews who relied on their external religious practices such as circumcision and their so-called observance of the ceremonial laws to be God's people. The truth of the matter is that their observance of the ceremonial laws, their great emphasis on circumcision and the various practice of the traditions that were invented by the elders posed as a barrier between themselves and the Gentiles. Yes, they form a middle wall of partition between Jews and Gentiles. In other words, unbelieving Jews who are not circumcised in the heart are like us Gentiles, very much like us, aliens to the one true living God, as we said earlier on. Now, how could this alienation from God be removed? How could this alienation from God, I'm talking about the alienation of the entire human race, how could this be removed? Again, we come back to this fundamental truth. By the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, first shed on the cross of Calvary. Verse 13 says, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Now, to understand the significance of this blood of the Lord Jesus Christ in bringing us nigh to God, we must go back to the Old Testament again. Now, remember, there was this holy place, or the Holy of Holies, this place in the Temple of Jerusalem, in which resided the Ark of the Covenant. Now, this Holy of Holies was an earthly representation of heaven. It was actually a room in which the Ark of the Covenant was, and it was the place where which was also representative of God's presence. It was the place from which God would communicate with the children of Israel. Now, this room, the Holy of Holies, was separated from another room by a veil, a larger room called the sanctuary. And no one could enter into the Holy of Holies except one man, and he was the high priest. And the high priest could not enter into the Holy of Holies anytime he wanted to. He could only enter into the Holy of Holies once per year, and it was on the Day of Atonement. And before he entered into the Holy of Holies, he had to offer a bullock. He had to shed the blood of the bullock. And the blood of the bullock was a means by which his sins was cleansed. So before he did that, he could not enter into the Holy of Holies. He had to do that first of all. Now, that blood, let us understand, was actually pointing to the blood of none other than our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ shed his precious blood. Not any blood, not the blood of animals, but his own blood. Not for his own sins, but for our sins. So that now we can enter into the Holy of Holies. We read this in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12. Hebrews 9, 12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. By the shedding of his precious blood, now we have access to the Holy of Holies. We have access to heaven, in other words. Now, you will remember that when the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, the veil in the temple of Jerusalem was torn from top to bottom, thus signifying that all those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, whether they were Jews, whether they were Gentiles, it didn't matter. Now they could have access into the Holy of Holies. They could enter into heaven. Now if we understand the meaning of this blood, then we'll understand Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13 better. So this verse would then make good sense to us. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh, brought near by the blood of Christ. Yes, in other words, we aliens can now stop being aliens. If we are made nigh by the precious blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I repeat, it makes no difference whether you are Jews, Gentiles, Chinese, whichever race you belong to. Now, if you trust in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be made nigh to him. You will no longer be aliens to the one true living God. And so the word of God in Galatians chapter 3, verses 28 and 29 says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither born nor free, there is neither male nor female, For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then ye are Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise. If we are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, saved by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we will now all become spiritual children of Abraham. Yes, heirs according to the promise. You are now Abraham's seed, heirs according to the promise. And then one day, my dear friends, all of us, Jews, Gentiles, no more alienation, no more barriers, because this barrier between us and the one true living God, this alienation between us and the one true living God has been removed. So there is no longer any of this alienation between Jews and Gentiles and between other races. Yes, we will all one day be one, brought into this heavenly gathering that is going to take place in heaven someday. But understand this truth also. If Christ shed his precious blood for us, but did not rise up from the dead, my dear friends, will we stop being aliens if he didn't rise up from the dead? My dear friends, we will continue to be aliens. Nothing would have changed if Christ did not rise up from the dead. But thankfully, Christ rose up from the dead. Yes, and because he rose up from the dead, he broke all barriers. Number one, the barrier between us and the one true living God, the alienation from the one true living God, that has been broken down by the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ then also draws us nigh to the one true living God. It brings us nigh to God. And then it is this same power that one day that is going to raise all of us up together, to be gathered together in that great heavenly gathering that is going to take place in heaven someday. Now, my dear friends, are you an alien or are you a citizen of the kingdom of God? If you are an alien, as I said, you will not be a part of that great and grand gathering that day. Because in the first instance, you have not been drawn nigh to the one true living God. You are still an alien. So friends, stop being an alien today. Why don't you come and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? In conclusion, I'd just like to say this. Australia welcomes people to be citizens of this country on Australia Day. The head of state, the Governor General, ceremonially welcomes the new citizens to this country, and the new citizens, of course, will begin to enjoy the benefits that citizens are entitled to have. Now, let us say that you are one of the citizens, okay? But as we know, the relationship between you and the Governor General of this country is only ceremonial. Yes, he ceremonially welcomes you to be a citizen of this country. That's all. The relationship is ceremonial. But let's say the Governor General does something very unique. He writes a personal letter to you and he invites you and he says to you, come and have tea with me once per month. Once per month. You say, wow, impossible. How can this ever be? The Governor General of this country invites me to come and have tea with him once per month. Yes. The usual case is he doesn't even know you. You don't even know him. He doesn't know your face. He doesn't know who you are. As far as he's concerned, as far as you are concerned, your relationship with him is just ceremonial. But then he writes this special letter to you. He says, unique, impossible. Yes, you say it's very great. But friends, when the Lord Jesus Christ changes us from aliens to non-aliens, when he changes us to be citizens of his kingdom, let us understand that he does something infinitely greater than that. Remember, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is not just a head of state. No, friends, he is the King of Kings and he's the Lord of the whole wide universe. He's our Creator. He's our Redeemer. He gave his life for us on the cross of Calvary, to cause us to be changed from being aliens to citizens of his kingdom. We are not some nameless, faceless citizens to him. No, we are special to him. He gives us his special providential care. As he tells us, not a single hair from your body will fall out of your body without my permission. That's how much he cares for us. And he's with us every day. When we call to him, he will answer us. Yes, and he meets our every need. He's everything to us. And he says, I will be with you until the end of the world. My dear friends, this is the God that we have. This is the one who causes us to be changed from aliens to citizens. Friends, if you are outside of the kingdom of God, why don't you come and trust in him and have this wonderful relationship with him? You are not just one of many nameless citizens in this country. You are special to him. Yes, he came and he gave his life for you. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercies. Thank you for your kindness and your goodness. Thank you, O Lord God, for salvation grace that you have given to us. We thank you that by the shedding of your precious blood, you have caused us to be changed from aliens to citizens of your kingdom. Lord, we know that once we are so far away from you, so distant from you, we were not even your people. We were aliens even to the commonwealth of Israel. Our friends, but dear Lord, we thank you that you have been so kind to us to save us out of darkness into your marvelous light. And by your resurrection power, you have drawn us unto you. Father, we thank you for enabling us to become citizens of your kingdom. And we thank you that one day we are all going to participate in that great and grand gathering that is going to take place in heaven. And this morning we want to pray for those who are still outside your kingdom, that they will respond to the call of the gospel and come to trust Jesus as Lord and Savior, so that they can be a participant of that great and grand gathering that's going to take place in heaven someday. For we pray and ask all this in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In closing,